Good morning. It's nice to see everybody. It is nice to see everybody. The conditions have brought us together today. That, friends, is kind of a miracle. So I'm grateful. And I want to be present. For a minute there, I was gone. Half here, half out there. I'm back. First of all, I'm a priest in training, so I just want to put that out there. I'm not sure what that means, but to me it means that I'm learning to be more fully human in order to serve all beings, not just people who I feel like I like or who are kind to me, but and all beings. That's my task. Your generosity supports me exploring my capacity to enter into different spheres of being, different conditions that people live in. Your generosity supports me financially. To bring it to more concrete terms, the details. Recently, it's ongoing. I'm in the second cohort of the Bearing Witness training, which I completed the first part in November, along with that, participating in a Bearing Witness retreat at Auschwitz-Birkenau. Your generosity and support assisted me going to Poland and being as present as I possibly could at that time to the training and to the great suffering at Auschwitz-Birkenau. And you were with me. We were connected in that experience. I brought you with me. I'll talk about that a little later. We were together. We were together in hell. And I'm glad that you were there. I could not have done it without you. And I mean it. I'd like to also recognize our teacher, Byakran Judith Regeer. She made this journey to Auschwitz-Birkenau with the Bearing Witness, the ZPO, as they're called, the Zen Peacemaker Order. I think, I was asking Rob, I think it was the late 90s or early 2000. Early 2000, maybe. I'll get the specifics. If anybody has issues with it, let me know and I'll get you the precise date. But the reason I bring her forward is because she created a path. She created a path in which any of us who had the ability or capacity to follow that path could. She went forward first. So she created a groove, and I am deeply appreciative of her creating that groove. I remember when I first said to Byakran, I'd made the decision to go to Auschwitz-Birkenau. She said to me, when you get back, you'll say Birkenau. I thought, I don't know what that means. Now I know what it means. So I left for the training. The training started I came back November 9th. Kyoku picked me up. October 30th, I arrived in Krakow, Poland. On the 31st was the first day of training. First day of training was council training. That's something that we do here at Clouds. And I feel that it was brought to a more refined, deeper level for me, particularly in the aspect of opening the heart. I've always, I don't know about you, but I've always been a little reticent about coming from a heart place. So this was a great practice for me, the idea of listening. I have a lot of opinions. My opinions are like, I can listen to people. I can speak from the heart. And yeah, that's true. Well, I can do that. And I can go deeper. I can be more present. I can be more open. I can be less selfish, less self-centered. I can be more fully here with the person in front of me, with the conditions in front of me. And I don't need to be reactive or feel like I'm not good enough because I can't listen deeply. I let that go. And I see where I am in this particular situation with this particular condition. And what happens in letting go, there's an opening. All we have to do is turn on the radio, turn on the TV, open up the newspaper. We can see suffering all over the planet. We can see suffering in our own communities. How do we respond? I feel that the Bernie Glassman's three tenets of bearing witness, for me, this is how I respond. This is how I responded in Auschwitz-Birkenau. And I'm still digesting the experience. So I just want to put that out there. The three tenets. On the second day of the training, the second day was bearing witness. And starting with the first tenet, not knowing. There were, like, in my cohort, there were 50 people throughout the country, throughout the planet, let me say. In Europe, Pakistan, Israel, there were three Native youth, two from Rapid City and one from Rosebud. There were people and young people from all over coming to this training. There were 130 people from all over the planet bearing witness to what happened in Auschwitz-Birkenau. Initially, they were strangers. In the end, their family. They're our family. So the not knowing what Genro did, Genro was the person that led the session on the three tenets. We had us pair up. And one person had a blindfold on them. And the other person led that person around in the plaza of Krakow, which is quite pleasant. There's people everywhere. There's birds everywhere. There's just a lot of children. There's a lot of activity. So there were like 50 of us in this plaza, 25 of us blindfolded, 25 of us leading. And we had 15 minutes apiece to experience this. And I don't know if you've ever done this exercise with a total stranger, but it's fascinating to be not have the ability to see. The other senses come forward. The sense of smell is incredible. The sense of hearing becomes very attuned. The sense of the temperature on the skin, the dampness, the heat. So it's like other senses just came forward. And trusting, developing trust and letting go with a person who initially there is no connection with, but almost in an instant there's a connection. There's this needing to protect and to steer away. And so it was very intimate and direct, this experience of not knowing. You might want to try it with your friends, your family. It's a place to start with not knowing, because it's about giving up one's fixed ideas about themselves and about others. And that others, that's where the potentiality for harm, for aggression, for violence comes in, is right there. So this idea of not knowing, of letting go of your fixed ideas, of bearing witness to all sides. And in Auschwitz-Birkenau, it's very apparent. The bearing witness and the importance of bearing witness. And then the third tenet is, from this bearing witness, action, loving, kind action emerges. It emerges from this groundlessness. Because the mind cannot contain the depth of suffering. It's too beyond the mind, and yet it happened. What happened in Auschwitz-Birkenau? It happened. It's happening all over the planet. So how does one bear witness? How does one enter into hell not knowing? And quite frankly, it's the only way you can enter into hell is to not know and not have any preconceived ideas. Because actually, we don't know exactly what happened. We weren't there. You can bear witness to testimonies and bear witness to the place. One of the things that we were told when we stayed at this place called the Dialogue Center. It's kind of a healing place for people from all over the planet to come and to bear witness to what happened at Auschwitz-Birkenau. And it's about a mile from Auschwitz-Birkenau. So many of us would walk in the morning and then participate in the activities and then walk back at night. Usually the schedule was from 9 to about to 5. And it was moving from one bearing witness activity action to another. So the whole day on Saturday was the training, and then on Sunday we went to Auschwitz. And I'm not a stranger to hell. Some of you know me. I'm not a stranger to hell. I grew up in it. I work in it. I went to the Black Hills, experienced the American Holocaust that happened there at Wounded Knee. So I thought I had an idea of what it would be like. I was not prepared. I mean, I was prepared and I wasn't prepared. So going to Auschwitz and you see this film that maybe some of you have seen of what happened after the liberation, the children marching out, the people who were emaciated, sick, the dehumanization and the domination within this film was very apparent. And then we walked under the gate. So much inverted thinking that, you know, we can see now. I can see clearly now. But back then, the psychology is beyond my consciousness to comprehend on how you traumatize people when you dehumanize them. Slowly, 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 you take away their humanity and then you put a number on them. So we walk under the gate. Work will set you free. I don't know the German pronunciation. And then you can just imagine on your right the band that would play for the prisoners in the morning and in the evening. And it wasn't celestial music. It was music from hell. I'm sorry if I'm using hell a lot, but I don't know how else to express what it is that I experienced. And we all use that term a lot, hell. And I think it's important to name it. It's not a place where people go. It's a place that we create. So one of the first places we visited, and you are bearing witness. Right now you are bearing witness with me. I feel you. Thank you. So one of the first places we went was one of the gas chambers. Sorry. And so we slowly went in, all of us, into the gas chambers. And they turned off the lights. And you could hear people. You could hear people sobbing. You could hear the agony. And I felt like I was hearing the past, the present, and now all coming together in that moment. The agony of the past, the suffering of the past, agony of the present, the suffering of the present. All happening, and it blew me open. It blew me open in a good way. I learned that what happens is that if the suffering is so intense that I turn away, my heart begins to close. I become hard It's the only way I think I can deal with the depth of this agony and suffering. So I'm turning away and I'm becoming a perpetrator. I am showing acts of violence and aggression in my turning away. It seems simplistic. But, and that's where it starts. That turning away. Oh, that's about them. It doesn't affect me. It affects us all in many, many ways. This practice of Zazen is very, very important. It's very important when going into conditions that are beyond the mind's capacity to contain. One of the statements that was given to us was to listen to the soil. Listen to the soil of Auschwitz-Birkenau. Listen to what it's saying. And how can you listen if your mind, how can I listen if my mind is full of myself? In my own thoughts, in my own suffering, in my own agony. I can't hear. I can't be present. I can't bear witness. I'm so full of myself, there's no chance to not know. So it's through Zazen, touching into this groundlessness, this not knowing, and coming from there to bear witness. How are people doing? Okay. Thank you. Because there's a little more I'd like to say. One of the things that we did is we did Zazen meditation on the selection platform at Birkenau. The selection platform was where the Nazis decided who lived, who died. It was indiscriminate. It was inverted. So that's where we sat. The first day I was sitting, I noticed a smell. I'm like, I don't like this. And I'm like, I don't like this at all. Because this is the smell of death. This is the scent of evil. And I'm turning away, and I'm thinking, you're turning away. Now you're conscious. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep turning away? Are you going to turn towards? I'm like, I can do this. I can relax. I can relax. I can breathe with every breath. I am smelling. I am smelling burning corpse is what I'm feeling. And I'm like, pretty soon I'm just breathing. Breathing and relaxing and opening and bearing witness. I'm like my whole being is becoming that smell. My whole being is becoming Birkenau. I'm like, just relax. This isn't about you. There is no you. The less you there is, the more Birkenau. The more all beings are in you, moving through you. I just let go. Just breathing in and out, in and out. In that letting go, I became intimate. Intimate with the place. Intimate with the beings that are there, that were there. I have a responsibility. One of the actions that we did in the evening, or towards the later part of the afternoon, at the end of the day, 4:30 to 5, is that we would chant names of people that had died at Birkenau. I was sitting there in Zazen, and there was an altar in the center, and 130 of us around, and at each direction, there was a person reading the names of somebody that died in the Holocaust. I was facing the west, and the sun was coming down on me. I want you to know that I felt warmth. I opened my eyes, and next to the sun, there was an opening in the sky. In that opening, there seemed to be like a little rainbow, like a yellowish rainbow. I'm like, I'm probably making this shit up because I'm really stressed out. So I'm like, just sit. Just sit. Just observe. So I'm feeling the sun. I'm looking at that opening. And as people are saying the names, the opening is like vibrating. I'm like, just observe. Do not attach. Just observe. I'm like, I'm watching this vibration of this opening and this yellowish rainbow. And then Mark says the last name, and all of a sudden it's like the sun just exploded. I'm like, wow, This is amazing. In this hell realm, there is goodness. These, some people call them angels. I call them spirits, unseen beings. They were everywhere. In amongst this hell, the very soil that we are walking on at Birkenau is the ashes of people that were burned or in the crematorium, and their ashes went everywhere. They went in the trees, they went in the water, they went in the leaves, they went into the people that were there. They went into us. They're everywhere. And it's good. Goodness attracts goodness. People, I got about 5 minutes. People, we did not know each other. People who you could feel we were all under great, great duress and despair and agony, because how do you contain this dehumanization and domination? It's beyond the human being to do it alone. In interconnectedness, we can do it. People touching each other at moments when it's like, you're just sobbing because it's so overwhelming, and somebody comes up and they hold you. I mean, people looking directly at you, not in a way where it's like, I'm going to get you, or an aggressive way. It's in a kind, loving, open way. The words, the tones of voices that people were using. I mean, humanity has great capacity for goodness. We do. With the bottomless pit of evil is there. And it is bottomless. I don't know if we've hit the bottom. I don't think we have. It's bottomless. But our goodness is equal. I seen it. I saw it every day that I was there. The reason that I was able to walk through hell, Birkenau, with these 130 beings and walk out the gates of hell was because of these 130 beings, because of you, each of you, because of all beings. It's there. And I'm not going to fight about it, but it's there. We have amazing capacity for goodness. One of the things that, one of the experiences we had was with Marion Kolodzic, who said it? Oh, thank you. Yeah, do you know?
No, it's Polish, Kolodzic.
Okay, thank you. Towards the end of the Bearing Witness retreat, we were invited to a church basement to see Marion's work, called The Labyrinth. Marion was one of the first prisoners at Auschwitz-Birkenau. I think his number was 432, if I'm not mistaken. When he left the camp, he never told anybody, not even his wife. And then when he was in his late 50s, early 60s, he had a stroke. And he asked his wife to put a pencil in his hand. And he began to draw. He began to draw his experience at Birkenau. And we saw it. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because not only did I get a direct artistic expression of the hell that was there, I also received the articulation of the beauty, the potentiality of goodness in human interaction, in connection. I want to read something that really articulates better than I this goodness. Before I left, I read Primo Levi's Survival at Auschwitz. He was a young man, and he spent about 10 months in the camp. And this is his story. He talks about a man, Lorenzo. I believe that it was really due to Lorenzo that I'm alive today. And not so much for his material aid as for his having constantly reminded me by his presence, by his natural and plain manner of being good, that there still existed a just world outside our own, something and someone still pure and whole, not corrupt, not savage, extraneous to hatred and terror, something difficult to define, a remote possibility of good, but for that it was worth surviving. The personages on these pages are not men. Their humanity is buried, or they themselves have buried it, under an offense received and inflicted on someone else. The evil and insane SSS men, the capos, the politicals, the criminals, the great, the small, down to the indifferent prisoners, all the grades of man hierarchy created by the German paradoxically fraternized in a uniform internal desolation. But Lorenzo was a man. His humanity was pure and uncontaminated. He was outside this world of negation. Thanks to Lorenzo, I managed not to forget that I myself was a man. I can't stress it enough how important it is that as much as we're able, that we don't turn away. That we turn towards. And when we recognize that we're not connected, to recognize that and be conscious that we're not connected. And that not connectedness has repercussions. And we are greater as a humanity in our interconnectedness than in our small individuality. I learned a lot. I learned more than I know, more than I can express. And I deeply appreciate you bearing witness to my experience. If anybody has any questions or a comment, we have about 5 minutes. Yes.
Thank you. Pretty profound. I do have one question. One is giving up fixed ideas about self and other. And the question that I have, you know, how can we let go the ideas that we have about Nazis? You know, when they inflicted so much pain. So in our minds and our hearts, they are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they were human too.
Yes.
So how can we just not, you know, have these strong feelings about Nazis or, you know, you name it. It can be Russians or
yes.
Iraqis or different names, you know. How can we not have that sort of feelings in our hearts?
Just like you said, they were human too. And that humanity was expressed in a way that was evil and created agony and horror. And my feeling is that if I continue to look at their evilness and their horror that they created, that there's going to be no healing, that the wound is always going to be open. What kind of world are we wanting to be creating in this moment? Do we want to continue to create a world of hate, of anger, of suffering through our ideas that this person is good, this person is bad? I do it all the time. Or do we want to figure this out together? That person is me. They're not other. I am them. They are me. You can't, it's true. It's amazing and it's truth. And the minute we figure this, the minute we can like somehow have a direct experience of how there is no other, there is no self. We're all here together. And our very survival depends on our connection to each other. And you expand it out to the four-legged, to the winged, to the fin, to the crawling, to all, I mean, to the blades of grass, to the sun, to those unseen beings that supported us all. And the minute we otherfy, the minute I otherfy somebody, I cut them off. I kill them. I don't mean to be dramatic. I'm sorry. I'm working on it. Thank you for your question. It's very profound.